Chapter 2. The Compromise. Revelation 18:4. The hand of man tried to support the ark of God. God became angry. The result was death. The whole program of the work of God ended in confusion. The man of God who undertook the work with all his heart and soul and in all sincerity was perplexed. He was anxious to find out the cause of his failure. How can I bring the ark of God home to me? This was the question which was tormenting him. There is no such stumbling of oxen in the work of the heavenly bodies as sun, moon, and stars. From the creation, their duties are perfectly carried on, but man rejected his order and counsel, and the result was death. The Word of God is nothing else but the very Word of God. They are eternal in application. Heaven and earth may pass away, but His Word shall never pass away. David had learnt this lesson from the nature. They actually execute the work Lord has allotted to them. Have you ever heard or seen the sun compromising with the moon and tried to interfere with each other's work? Have you ever seen or heard of a mango tree trying to make affinity with a margosa tree? No, never. Please see Genesis 1:11. The Lord commanded, and it was so. But man is trying to change God's order. He is breeding strange vegetation by mixing the seed together. He is trying to bring into existence strange animals by mixing up their seed. The Lord says that is an abomination unto Him. Please read Deuteronomy 22:9-11. Again, He says that an ox and an ass should not be yoked together for work. In the sight of God, it is an abomination. That is the mind of God. Apply this divine principle to spiritual things, we will then understand why the oxen stumbled. Mixing up of divine principles with the worldly method is termed by God as adultery. The adulteration of the work of God with the man's order is called prostitution. These terms were used often by God while rebuking the children of Israel. The same term is used in the Revelation to the great Babylonian church, the Roman Catholics and her daughters, the nominal Christianity. See Revelation chapters 17 and 18, the great whore and mother of harlots. A voice from heaven is crying out saying, "Come out of her, my people, so you may not become partakers of her sins and ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18:4. God says, "Come out of her and have nothing to do with her." Thank God, we have obeyed and have come out of the evil system. We cannot work together with those who reject the word of God. We refuse to plow the gospel field with them. God said, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." It is an abomination to God. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. It is all to prove how the CSI and other denominations have departed from them. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4:6 and again Hosea 8:12. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Hear the cry of God, O my people, they which led thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths, Isaiah 3:12. The more you depart from the word of God, the more you will depart from God Himself. Our own safety is to cling to the word of God at any cost and have nothing to do with those who are desperately trying to preserve this evil system which is doing so much damage to the cause of Christ. They may be sincere. Their desires may be good and their motives pure, nevertheless it is not God's order, and anything that is not according to His word will bring death. Spiritual death. Hebrews 12:28 and 29. We have already seen in brief our early struggle and how all our cooperation came to naught because we sought Him not after the due order of His word. See the following illustration also from His word as in 1 Kings chapters 12 and 13. After Solomon's death, the 12 tribes of Israel separated into two groups. 10 tribes of Israel set up over them Jeroboam as king and became a northern kingdom. In the south, Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned at Jerusalem with the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Now Jeroboam, purely for political reasons, prevented the 10 tribes to go to Jerusalem to worship. He set up 2 calves, one at Dan and the other at Bethel, and invited them to worship the God of Israel there. It was against the word of God. He also made basest of man as priests against the word of God, but everything else was done according to the law of Moses. God therefore sent a prophet from Judah to Bethel to warn Jeroboam. He came and cried against the altar. 1 Kings 13:1. Jeroboam became angry and stretched forth his hand saying, "Lay hold on him." The hand was dried up and he could not pull it back again to him. He begged the prophet to pray for him. He prayed and the Lord heard him and restored Jeroboam's hand. He invited the prophet to his house. Prophet refused as God had strictly charged him not to have any fellowship with anyone at Bethel. But when an old prophet of Bethel called him, the poor man accepted it, and the result was death. A lion met him on the way and slew him. What a terrible failure on the part of the servant of God. That is exactly the nature of work the Lord has entrusted to us. To cry against the altars, which are made according to man's dimensions and measurements, have nothing to do with them. No eating of bread and no drinking of water with them. Poor man, the prophet of Judah, did not give in to the king, but he neglected the word of God while dealing with a prophet. Spiritual death will be the result of our ministry if we disobey the word of God in this respect. O young men, we appeal to you. You are our hope. Our constant dream is that you young men will take up this great work of God. The altars of Damascus and Bethel, which are not according to God's measurements, can neither be pulled down nor corrected by us. But we can rescue people from worshipping the Lord before these false altars. We need prophets of Judah to face Jeroboam and declare the truth. Our one cry is, back to the Bible and His Word. We always need men who will cry out against the altars of Dan and Bethel. Young men who will leave their fishing nets behind and follow the Lord. Men who will leave their desk like Levi and take up the work. Men like Elisha who will leave plows and take up the mantle of Elijah. The time is now come when we cannot serve God along with our secular jobs. We can never hope to bring our country to the Lord in that way. Men who are holy for the Lord are necessary. People have to be aroused from their blind faith, and only consecrated men and women can do such great work. Awake, our Lord hath need of thee who could blaze the trail and make way for the others to follow like John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord. Like David Livingstone to go and die in the midst of the heathen of the region of darkness, which would inspire hundreds of young men to follow in his footsteps. The call is for all. The Lord will use you wonderfully if only you venture. It is our desire and hope as you hear the early history of this assembly, you will be inspired to do so in the Lord. Glorious work was done by the Wepery Gospel League until we had the rude shock by the publication of the report of the Church Committee, set up by the Archbishop of Canterbury. A brief summary of the report stated already is enough to convince of the seriousness of the situation. It was at this time Brother Bhakt Singh paid his first visit to Madras. Perhaps you would be curious to know as to what happened to the Wepery Gospel League. When the League was at the height of its usefulness and popularity, the oxen stumbled, and we had to leave the work of God abruptly and run away to save ourselves. As told already, we cooperated with one evangelist called Brother Gopal Daniel to carry on the work of the League. There was a definite understanding between us that he will not preach any Pentecostal doctrine, and that we will concentrate on the preaching of Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified only. But when some of his Pentecostal friends saw the huge gathering, etc., they persuaded him to change his mind. Without any previous notice or prayer with us, he began to preach again the Pentecostal doctrine of speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, etc. And so, we were forced to de-link ourselves from his fellowship. The oxen stumbled again. How shall I bring the Ark of God home to me? This was David's problem, and this was our problem too. All our sincere efforts to preach Christ met with tragedies, as in the case of Uzziah who drove the cart with the ark on it. Was it an accident? Was it an accident when Balaam's ass stumbled and refused to move? Was it an accident when Jonah's ship stumbled and was about to sink in the boisterous sea? Was it an accident when Ananias and Sapphira stumbled and fell down dead? No, it was a deliberate act of God. God resisted them. The Lord hath made a breach. The Lord was against the movement. He put a stop to it. Does it surprise you? My friends, big arrangements, crowds and groups, plenty of music, songs and excitement do not make revival. That was the mistake David foolishly made, and that is the mistake we continue to make. The crowd mania has got hold of the servants of God, and they are making gigantic efforts to collect crowds by fair and foul means. David did so. He collected all Israel from one end to the other end, captains, leaders, Levites, and all the others. There was plenty of noise, music, singing and dancing before the Ark of God. It was all going in a very grand way. It was so beautiful, so majestic, wonderful, costly new cart. Look at the bulls, how beautiful! Everybody praised the organizer. Utsa and Ahio looked very proud. They had found a new pattern to glorify God. Everything went well until they reached the threshing floor of Chido. Then the oxen stumbled, and the tragedy happened. Beware how you serve God and how you worship Him. You think it is easy, you dream that it is all songs and solos all through youth camps, Bible study, groups, Christian excursions and retreats. You try to worship and serve Him with levity. David thought so first. But listen to his warning, which he learned after bitter lessons. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2:11. Hear what Paul says, "Wherefore serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12:28 and 29. Remember, there is a threshing floor which you must pass through sooner or later. There, God will meet you. There, your work will be judged. New cart method is okay for some time. Bulls strong and sturdy may look grand and may go on for some time. But they will stumble soon at the threshing floor. God met David with a drawn sword at the threshing floor of Ammon. He will meet you at some threshing floor and will make a breach. Let every man take heed, says Paul, how he builds thereupon. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3:10-13. Don't keep on saying, "I am saved." Is there a total change in your life, behavior and your attitude towards the world, the flesh and sin? Have all old things passed away from your life, and has everything become new? Have you dug deep enough so that your foundation is sure on the rock? God was angry and He smote Uzziah, and he died before the Lord. Why was He angry? The things were not done according to the word of God. They had big ideas. Philistines' ideas, and David adopted that method in the service of God. 1 Samuel 6:7, but it was abominable unto God. Please see 2 Kings 16:10-14. God's altar was set aside and Damascus' altar was built. It was an abomination in His sight. Use of unscriptural method in the service of God makes God angry, and He makes breach. David cried unto the Lord, and He revealed to him from the word of God the due order, the scriptural order. Please see 1 Chronicles 15:13. When God's order was observed, what a great triumph and what a great joy! God helped the Levites that bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Verse 26. Now let us see what the due order was, and it will help us solve our difficulties in these days. First see 1 Chronicles 15:2. Except the Levites, none ought to carry the Ark of God. This is the order number one. David disregarded this first principle, and the result was death. Therefore, don't be taken up with big things and big shows. Two failures we observe in the above incident. First, David consulted big leaders, captains and army men. He forgot that a tribe called the Levites had been separated unto God for His service. That was his first mistake. Secondly, the Levites knew very well that the Ark of God should be carried by them on their shoulders. But they were afraid of the king. Moreover, they knew that the Lord was with the king and of his past exploits and victories through the help of God. They also thought that it was quite all right. We too sometimes see the big leaders and their fame in the religious circles, and their past great works, and keep quiet. Man, however great, is liable to a So, we must keep ourselves away from such movements if it is not in the due order of the Lord's word. May God lead the leaders of the church to be faithful unto his word, and the due order be adopted in doing his ministry.